Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you today. And I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. But I'd like to start with something funny. And I heard about this minister that died. And he was standing at the pearly gates, and the man in front of him was dressed in a loud t-shirt, and sunglasses, and blue jeans. And St. Peter asked his name. He said, "I'm Joe Cohen, taxi cab driver, New York City." Peter checked his list, handed him a gold staff and a silk robe, said, "Welcome to heaven." The minister stepped up, said, "I'm Reverend Joseph Snow, pastor of St. Mary's Cathedral." Peter checked his list, handed him a wooden staff and cotton robe. He said, "Wait a minute, that couldn't be right. The taxi cab driver got a gold staff and this is all I get?" Peter said, "Sir, up here we work by results. When you preached, people slept, but when he drove, people prayed." All right, y'all, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about just the opposite. We all have situations that don't look like they're going to work out. Doors have closed on a dream. Medical report's not good. A relationship didn't make it. All the circumstances say that we'll always be lonely, always addicted, always have a child that's off course. But the scripture says God turns mourning into dancing. He turns sorrow into joy. God specializes in turning things around, turning sickness into health, turning addictions into freedom, turning lack into abundance. He has divine reversals where what looks one way turns out just the opposite. My mother should have died with terminal cancer, but just the opposite happened. She's lived 44 years past that diagnosis. The church should have gone down when my father died. That's what all the critics said, but just the opposite happened. We've gone to levels we've never dreamed. That addiction should have limited your life like it did your relatives, but just the opposite happened. God set you free and now you're healthy and whole. And we see this all through the scripture. Goliath should have defeated David. He was twice his size, but just the opposite happened. David defied the odds, brought down a giant. The three teenagers should have burned up in the fiery furnace. Just the opposite happened. They came out without the smell of smoke. Moses should have been stuck in the desert after he made that mistake and missed his destiny, but just the opposite happened. God came in a burning bush and gave him another chance. He went on to deliver the Israelites and become a hero of faith. You may have situations where all the facts say it's not going to work out. Your child's never going to get back on course, and those people at work will always limit you. Can I encourage you? The same God that delivered the saints of old is going to turn things around in your life. You're going to have some of these just the opposite moments. I thought I'd be addicted, but now I'm free. I thought I was stuck, but God catapulted me ahead. I thought I'd always be lonely, but God sent someone better than I could imagine. It's going to be just the opposite of what it looked like. See, the scripture says the enemy is a liar and there is no truth in him. When he whispers his lies that you've reached your limits and this problem is too big, the key is to take just the opposite of what he's telling you. You'll never get well. You saw the report. Thank you. Now I know the truth. I will live and not die. God's restoring health back unto me. We'll always struggle. Not have enough. That's just the family you come from. Thank you. Now I know abundance is coming. I will lend and not borrow. Well, your child's always going to be off course, get into trouble, cause you problems. Thank you. Now I know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, the battle is taking place in our minds. The enemy cannot tell the truth, But if he can deceive you into believing his lies, then he can keep you from the great things God has in store. Sorry. Yeah. There was a young woman in the scripture named Esther. She was an orphan being raised by her uncle Mordecai. When the king of Persia was searching for a new queen, she was picked to be one of the candidates in this beauty pageant. Out of the thousands of girls, she was chosen as the next queen. Well, nobody knew that she was Jewish. Mordecai told her to keep that a secret. Everything was going great until a man named Haman got upset with Mordecai. Haman was the prime minister, second in command to the king. When he walked by, he expected everyone to bow down and show their respect. But Mordecai wouldn't do it. He only bowed to Jehovah. This made Haman so angry, he decided to do something about it. He found out that Mordecai was a Jew. And to get back at him, he thought, I'm not going to just get rid of you. I'm going to get rid of your whole nationality. He went to the king and said, hey, there's a group of people that are causing trouble. They won't obey your decrees. The best thing we could do is annihilate them, not let them live. Sounded reasonable to the king. He didn't want to be overthrown, so he agreed to Haman's request. He took off the ring on his finger and gave it to Haman, represented his authority. He said, do as you have said with these people. So Haman wrote an official decree that on March the 7th, 1 year from then, all the Jews would be killed. Their property would be given to whoever killed them. He sent the fastest messengers to deliver this decree throughout the land. When the Jewish people received it, there was great weeping and wailing. The scripture says many stayed in bed in sackcloth and ashes, so depressed. Well, someone told Esther that Mordecai was in distress, crying at the city gates. She had an assistant to see what was wrong. Mordecai sent back a copy of the decree and explained what Haman was up to and how she must go to the king and tell him what was happening and to plead for the life of her people. But you couldn't go to the king unless he called for you. She hadn't seen him in a month. She told Mordecai to gather all the Jews and to pray and fast for 3 days because she was going to go to the king. She put her life on the line and went to see the king. The king was very gracious. He said, Esther, what do you want? I'll give you anything up to half of my kingdom. She didn't have the courage to tell him right then. She said, I would like for you and Haman to come to a banquet that I've prepared. The king agreed. Haman got the word and felt so honored. At the banquet, the king said, now, Esther, tell me, what do you want? She still couldn't find the courage to do it yet. She said, King, if you're pleased with me, I want you to come to a banquet with Haman tomorrow night. Then I'll tell you what this is all about. Verse 9 says, what a happy man Haman was as he left that banquet. He went out of there on cloud 9, having dinner with royalty, going to do it again tomorrow night. He bragged to his friends about how honored he was, all the authority he had been given. Sometimes it looks like your enemies are being promoted. They're being honored when you know they're plotting evil. They're doing the wrong thing. Don't worry, their time is coming. God is your vindicator. You don't have to live upset and try to pay people back. He's going to take care of those who are plotting against you. They went to the banquet the next night. Haman sitting there so proud. The king said it again. Esther, what can I do for you? She said, Your Majesty, this is my request, that you would spare my life and the life of my people. The king was appalled. He said, who would dare try to harm you? She pointed at Haman and said, he has written a decree to annihilate me and all my people. The scripture says Haman grew pale with fright, from honor to dishonor in 1 second. The king jumped up in such a rage, so upset, he ran out to the courtyard. Haman came over and fell on Esther and began to beg for his life. About that time, the king came back in and saw him all over Esther. He said, are you even going to assault my wife right in front of my eyes? An assistant came over and said, Haman has set up some gallows outside to hang Mordecai on. The king said, great, use those gallows to hang Haman. The psalmist said, the trap the enemy sets for you, they will fall in themselves. Chapter 8 says, that same day, the king gave the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Esther. Then the king called up Mordecai. He took the signet ring, the one he removed from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. Said, from now on, you're going to be in charge. It looked like Esther and Mordecai would be wiped out, but it was just the opposite. Looked like Haman had the upper hand. All this power, the ring, people bowing down, but just the opposite happened. Now Mordecai has the ring. Now Esther owns his estate. You may have situations like them that seem like they could never resolve. People against you that have more authority and circumstances that seem bigger, the sickness, the addiction, but you don't know what God is up to. He has divine reversals, supernatural turnarounds where you suddenly go from the back to the front, from being overlooked to being in charge, from weeping to rejoicing, from wondering how it could work out to saying, look what the Lord has done. Esther said in verse 5, King, there's one more request. Please send out a decree reversing Haman's order to destroy the Jews. The king said, Esther, you can write whatever you want. Mordecai has the ring to seal it with my authority. They wrote a decree saying that anyone that tried to harm God's people would be killed. Chapter 9 says, on March the 7th, the day the enemy of the Jews had planned to destroy them, just the opposite happened. No one was harmed. One translation says, the tables turned. But imagine what the enemy had whispered to them. There's a decree. Your days are numbered. It's official. The king sealed it. But what the enemy doesn't want you to know is he doesn't have the final say. He may plan your demise, bring people against you, circumstances that look impossible, but what he means for harm, God knows how to turn to your advantage. God has these divine reversals where it turns out just the opposite of what it looks like. Don't be discouraged by the circumstances. You may have a Haman in your life, an obstacle that's bigger and stronger, the medical report, an addiction, the debt, the anxiety. Seems like it has the upper hand. You're at the mercy of what's against you. But God sees what you're going through. He knows who did you wrong, how you don't see a way, those lonely nights. Like with Esther, your time is coming. There will be a day where the tables will turn, divine reversals. Your health turns around. You can't explain it. It's the hand of God. Your business takes off. Or that dark cloud lifts off of you. Lies told you that you'd always be depressed, but it's just the opposite. You're full of joy. You've got your passion back. Relationship didn't work out. Someone walked away and lies will tell you, just live with a broken heart. You'll never be happy again. Can I encourage you? It's going to be just the opposite. You will love again. You will laugh again. You will dream again. You're going to meet someone so amazing, you don't think about what you've lost. Or how about the lies that whisper, you've reached your limits. You've seen your best days. Quit waiting for things to improve. No, the truth is, you haven't seen, heard, or imagined what's coming your way. There's uncommon favor, uncommon opportunity, uncommon influence that'll catapult you ahead. You're going to look back and say with Mordecai, it was just the opposite of what it looked like. Haman said we were doomed. The truth is, he were doomed and we lived on. Haman said I was stuck, had no authority, but God turned the tables and gave me what Haman had, the authority, the king's ring, the influence. Are there situations that you don't see how they can work out? Your health, a relationship, your finances? Instead of believing those lies and letting all the negative play, try a different approach. Lord, I thank you that you have divine reversals coming my way, that you will do just the opposite of what it looks like. Father, turn this sickness into health. Turn this mourning into dancing. Turn this lack into abundance. Lord, turn my child from poor decisions to his purpose and destiny. Turn my family from strife and division to peace and harmony. Turn these ashes into beauty. Turn my pain into purpose. Get in agreement with God and you'll see some supernatural turnarounds. Not where he just brings you out and things resolve, but it's going to be just the opposite. It's far better, something that you never imagined. That's what happened for Esther and Mordecai. There was economic reversal. All of Haman's estate was given to Esther. She didn't ask for that. But when God turns the tables, he's going to exceed your expectations. The scripture says the wealth of the ungodly will be transferred to the righteous. The good news is you're the righteous. Part of the just the opposite is going to be a transfer of resources, property, opportunities that you didn't see coming. Mordecai saw leadership reversal. He had no authority, no influence. He had to stay outside the palace. Nobody paid him much attention. But Mordecai was a man that honored God and lived a life of excellence and integrity. He took his niece Esther in as a little girl, made sure she felt valuable and loved. He overheard a plot to assassinate the king, and he secretly sent word to keep it from happening. He didn't have to do that, but he was a man of honor. He did the right thing when he wasn't getting the credit. Nobody was thanking him. It looked like he would stay in the background, just watch others be promoted. But when you stay faithful, you keep being your best each day, serving, giving, loving, maybe nobody notices right now, but there will come a time where God turns the tables, takes you from the background to the foreground, from working at that company to owning your own company, from always serving others to having others serve you, where you can rise higher, have greater influence, honor, and respect. The Israelites saw emotional reversal. When they got the bad news, there was all this weeping and wailing, so distraught that they couldn't get out of bed. But when the king reversed this decree, verse 16 says, there was great joy and gladness among the Jews. In every province, there was feasting and celebrating. Few months earlier, there was sorrow and weeping. But look at how God can turn things. Now they're laughing, joyful, celebrating with their family. You may be in a time of sadness today, dealing with things you didn't see coming, a breakup, loss of a loved one, a dream seems like it's died. The scripture says God is close to the brokenhearted. When you're going through these seasons of sadness and disappointment, God is right there with you. It says in Psalms, he even collects all your tears. But the enemy will whisper, you'll never be happy again. What happened to you? You're a victim. No, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Just like God did for Esther, you're going to laugh again. It's not going to turn out the way the enemy is telling you. It's going to be just the opposite. Mourning turned to dancing. Sorrow turned to joy. Sadness turned to gladness. Verse 9 says, the king reversed his decree. They saw legal reversal, an official decree. The law had been passed, but God is not limited by natural laws. God can change a law to get you to your destiny. There may be a decree, a report that says this sickness is going to end your life. You don't have the education to reach your dreams. You'll be defined by that loss. The good news is God has an override button. He knows how to supersede laws and change things that look unchangeable. The scripture says God can turn the heart of a king. We may not be able to change people's minds, but God can. Some friends of mine have a successful business, and for many years, everything was going great. But one of their accountants made some mistakes on filing their taxes. The IRS said they owed them $100,000. They didn't have those funds, and this could put them out of business. They're faithful members here at Lakewood. They know how to pray, believe, and declare. But all the facts said they weren't going to make it. Thoughts whispered, you're going to go bankrupt. After all these years of hard work, you're going to end up with nothing. They met with the representative at the IRS and asked if they could have some kind of payment plan to pay it off over time. But this woman was very harsh and not understanding. She demanded that they pay it all in full right then, or there were going to be even more legal penalties. They left that day so discouraged, not knowing what to do. But the scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a barrier. You're not fighting by yourself. God won't let you get in a problem that He can't bring you out of. They didn't see a way, but they kept thanking God that He would make a way. They went back in 30 days for their final judgment. They walked in the lady's office and sat down and waited for her to come in. In a few minutes, another woman walked in that they had never seen. They were surprised and asked where their representative was. She said she had moved to another state and now she was in charge of their account. This woman could not have been more opposite than the other woman. Kind, understanding, looking for options. She took their material and said, let me go study this and see if I can find a solution. She came back in a half hour and said, I don't agree with what the other woman found. I don't think you filed your taxes wrong. You don't owe us $100,000. She said, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll write a check for $100 today, this will be settled right now. They didn't see that coming. It was just the opposite of what they thought. God knows how to reverse things, how to turn the tables and move the wrong people out of your way. Put the right people, people that'll be for you, people that'll go out of their way to help you, that want you to succeed. Like my friends, you may be in a situation doesn't look like it's going to work out. Thoughts are telling you all the worst case scenarios. You could live negative, dreading things. But can I encourage you? God has some of these just the opposite moments lined up for you. Things you never saw coming. Divine reversals. You couldn't make it happen. God turned the tables. God reversed the decree. God changed the people's mind. 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Aram had sent hundreds of troops and chariots to capture Elijah. They snuck up at night and surrounded his house. The next morning, Elisha's assistant went out, and when he saw the army surrounding them, he was terrified. He ran back, woke up Elisha up, said, there's a huge army surrounding us. We're trapped. We have no way to get out. Elisha said, don't worry. There are more for us than there are against us. He said, Elisha, are you still dreaming? It's just you and me. There are thousands of them. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. He went back and to look again. This time he saw hundreds of thousands of the heavenly armies, these warring angels and these chariots of fire surrounding the other army. It looked like he and Elisha were surrounded. The truth is, it was just the opposite. The other army was surrounded. It may feel like you're surrounded today. What you're up against seems bigger, stronger. But if you could see into this unseen realm, it's just the opposite. God is surrounding what's surrounding you. Feels like that cancer has you surrounded. It's just the opposite. God has the cancer surrounded. Seems like that debt, lack, can't get ahead has you surrounded. Have a new perspective. The Most High God is surrounding everything that's surrounding you. January of 1999, my father went to be with the Lord and I started pastoring. There was a lot of momentum. The church was growing. I announced that October that on the first Sunday of 2000, we were going to start an additional Sunday morning service at 8:30. I'd prayed about it and believed it was the right thing. All these thoughts started bombarding my mind, telling me nobody's going to show up, Joel. It's going to be a big mistake. You better change it while you have time. The enemy cannot tell the truth. You have to take the opposite of what he's saying. But I didn't know that back then, and I was so worried and so stressed. And one night, a few days before the first Sunday, I had a dream. Better description was a nightmare. In this dream, it was that first Sunday of our new service, and I saw myself walking into the auditorium to go up to speak, but nobody was there. Not Victoria, not my mother, not an usher, not one choir member. It was completely empty. I woke up in a cold sweat. Thoughts whispered, "You better still cancel it. You still have a few days." I didn't tell anyone about the dream. Later that day, I saw my mother. I thought maybe she'll encourage me. I said, "Mother, are you going to the new early service this Sunday?" She said, "You mean it starts this week?" I thought, "Dear God, we've been announcing it for 6 months and she doesn't even know it's happening." I said, "Yes, it starts, and you need to bring your friends, enemies, neighbors, co-workers, relatives." First Sunday of 2000 came and I left early to get there, so nervous. I'll never forget driving up to the building. One parking lot was already full. I got inside and 5,000 people had shown up. The enemy had shown me an empty auditorium. It was just the opposite. The place was filled with people. My mother even made it. Some of the things that you're worrying about, you're thinking they could never work out, and you're playing the worst case scenario, God is saying it's going to be just the opposite. Not defeat, but victory. Not stuck where you are, but catapulted to a new level. Not broke, but abundant. Not depressed, but great joy. Not lonely, but an awesome spouse. Now, all these lies the enemy is whispering, instead of letting them discourage you, start taking just the opposite. "Well, Joel, you've done pretty well, but you've gone as far as you can." No thanks. Our latter days will be better than our former days. This will be a year of uncommon favor, uncommon opportunity. You have to get in agreement with God. If you'll do this, I believe and declare, you're about to see some divine reversals, supernatural turnarounds in your health, your finances, your children. Like Esther and Mordecai, it's going to be just the opposite. Bigger, better, more rewarding than you ever imagined. I declare it in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, let's just seal it in prayer. Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood, and so many watching and listening. Lord, we're going out of here with our faith increased. Yes, Lord, we all have situations that look permanent, but Lord, we know you have these divine reversals. Lord, show out in your people's life in a new way this week, this year. Lord, give them some of these just the opposite moments for your glory. Lord, I speak strength and peace and protection and your favor upon everyone under the sound of my voice. A year of uncommon favor, divine reversals in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you would spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. And I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy in your thoughts, he'll whisper, "Hey, do it next week. Do it another time." Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. "Well, Joe, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I have people at the house. I can't lift my hand." Listen to what Jesus said. "If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven." I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold? Take that step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood. Let's give them a hand clap as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few more. Lakewood, let's clap them in. They're still standing. Anybody else? Up top? Online? Still time for you. Anybody else? Well, God bless you, and please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. And more importantly, I know God's never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. And the scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind all praying this after me, if you would, please? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, remain standing one more moment if you don't mind. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you an invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers to give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment, just like you go to work, that it's going to be a priority. You're going to be here for the next year. I'll make a promise before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. And I know you're busy. You work hard. You could be relaxing on Sunday. But can I encourage you? There is a blessing on your life when you put God first place. You get into a community of faith. Hey, you can join some of our team, guys in the choir, the ushers, the greeters. You'll meet some awesome people here at Lakewood that, like I said, it'll help your life go better. After service, there's a room called New Beginnings right over there. If you need anything, I'm going to be in the lobby back that way. If you can't do it today, please stop by sometime. I would love to meet you. There's classes after service as well. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible. It's January 12th, 2025, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's all sing together. Thanks so much for coming out today. How many of you going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, we love you guys. Let me speak a blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.